from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back with more Hit and Run with host Chris Ronji on The Score.
Look out.
Fans are booing Anderson as if he did something nefarious by letting that bat slip out of his hand.
Yep.
I caught a little bit of Tigers at White Sox recently, and Javi was, you know, there all over Javi on the south side.
Sure. You know, that
stuff never dies.
It's part of the charm of the sport, though, right?
I mean,
to sit there, go ahead and explain to someone that wasn't all that familiar with baseball, why are they booing him? Well, because he played for the team on the other side of town. Swing and a miss. Imanaga gets him. And the fans delighted.
Tim Anderson got booed at Wrigley Field yesterday. Coming back to Chicago, now a member of the Miami Marlins. And Anderson's one of those dudes that I am rooting for. I do like him, I think, overall. Players like him are good for baseball. Personality is good for baseball. So I'd like to see him have a little bit of success. It's been a couple of years since he has had some success, since he has been productive. Offensively, it just really hasn't happened since 22, and even then, it was not great. It was probably a little bit below major league average, but it's been a while, so would like to see a little bit of something from it. Last year with the Sox was just a brutal year for Anderson. So, again, rooting for him. Hope he does well. I did think it was interesting to see him get booed a few times at Wrigley yesterday. And they're right. And that highlight from Marquee and JD and Boog talking about it, that's what happens. It's what happens. You know, you've got players who played for the other side of town, and you want to let them hear it. That's what is fun about baseball. See, I don't mind booing opposing players. I think that's great. I think unless your own players are dogging it, I don't know that booing really does any good. And I know fans have the right to voice their displeasure with their own team's performance. I'm just not sure booing helps, unless a guy is just clearly not trying. In that case, or doesn't have his head in the game, making mental errors. In that case, I don't mind you letting him hear it. So this is really interesting because we are spending a lot of time talking Cubs today. Mark Leiter Jr., who has had a very, very good year out of the bullpen for the Cubs, he is going to join us in the next segment. At least he is scheduled to be with us ahead of the Cubs finale against the Marlins at Wrigley Field today, 12:45. We got the broadcast and the actual ball game at 1:20 with Zach Zaidman and Ryan Dempster. They will be on the call this afternoon. Cubs trying to take 3 of 4 at Wrigley Field. But in terms of the Sox, and every time I'm on, every time I'm filling in, as you can imagine, most of the text messages we get to 312-644-6767 are just asking, what about Danks? I don't know. I think he's in Nashville. That's the best I can give you. And, you know, we have people like our Sultan of Snark, John Greenberg, with The Athletic, who is tweeting at me, wondering when the Sox are going to fire Greg Walker. John, we're not doing this. We are not doing this today. We're not firing Greg Walker today.
Why not? Why not? It seems
because it's just you know what? He's with a different team now.
Oh.
Yeah, so I don't think we're firing Greg Walker.
Okay, I guess that's fine.
Please do not ask me about Greg Walker or Matt Thornton. We are not taking Matt Thornton calls today either. Anything else you want to talk about? We most certainly will do that with you. 312-644-6767. That's the phone number on Hit and Run. Sahadev Sharma is going to join us later. Craig Mish, who covers the Marlins, and he's up on what's happening around MLB, too. Had a couple of people who have said, you know, maybe the Marlins and Cubs would be pretty good trade partners. So we're going to ask Mish about that. Carlos Pena from Marquee is going to visit with us. So a good show as we go up until 12:45, at least as good as I can make it. You know, I can't promise excellence, but I can get you through to 12:45. I could do that for you. Let's take a call, shall we? How about we talk to Mark in South Bend? Hello, Mark.
Hello, Chris. It's always an honor and pleasure to get to weigh in with you. As you know, for a long time, I was a White Sox fan. I used to call you when you used to do the pre and post game and that. And it seems like to me at this particular time and point, the White Sox probably are the most dysfunctional, broken organization in all, not of baseball, but in all of sports, from the ownership on down to the field level. I consider them to be the Charlie Brown All-Stars of the 21st century. And the manager getting excited about coming up with five runs after he's down 9-0, and the All-Star pitcher, Zach Wheeler, being taken out of the game is no big accomplishment. It's nothing to get happy about or be feel good about. You know, it's just total dysfunction. And, I've given up on it, Chris. I was, since I was 8 years old, I've been a White Sox fan. And with the intellectual dishonesty of Jerry Reinsdorf, especially in last year's press conference, and other things over the years, I'm just tired of it, and I've become a Detroit Tiger fan.
Okay. Mark, appreciate the phone call. That is quite a leap. But you know what? You get to listen to Benetti call baseball games now that you're a Tigers fan. I don't think I've ever heard that before. I don't think I've ever heard of a person picking a new baseball team and the new baseball team being a division rival of the team they were following. So I hope Mark follows through on that. I will say this about the Detroit Tigers. Their logo is exceptional. I love the old English D on the hats. And they got a lot of good merchandise. So if you like baseball merchandise, great. Being a Tigers fan would be awesome in that regard. I think their stuff is sweet. But here's the thing about the Sox. And as I said earlier, there are two teams in town here, right? And when I started doing Sox baseball pre and post back in 06, there was a guy, great dude, went by he was online on this message board. And White Sox Interactive, for people who might remember. And his name's Henry. And he would measure in the newspaper the amount of space that was given to the White Sox versus the Cubs. And there were a group of people that would be upset if the Cubs were getting more coverage in the Chicago Tribune or the Sun-Times, and he was literally measuring the space. How many inches of space in the newspaper that was going to both teams in town, and then saying, see, Cubs are getting more coverage. Cubs are getting all of this attention. Why aren't the White Sox getting all of this attention? Here's what I'm going to tell you right now. As much as I care about the White Sox, and I love their fans, I love all of you who are Sox fans, and I do miss talking with you on a daily basis. A lot has happened, enough has happened, in the last few years where I can honestly say I don't think the Sox deserve the coverage.
They just don't deserve it. We're talking about them a little bit right now. It's almost too much. They're 3-17. They've done nothing to make their team better. As you know, they have, and I like Chris Getz personally. I think he's tremendous. I think he's smart. I hope he ends up being successful there. I think he's in a difficult position with ownership, but we'll see what happens with him. But they hired him under the reasoning that they wanted to hit the ground running and start winning this year. Well, 3-17 ain't it. So if they're not getting covered, we're not talking about them. They don't deserve it. I hate to say it, and I want to be talking about there's nothing better other than the Bears being good. There is nothing better in Chicago than when the Cubs and the Sox are both good at the same time. There's nothing like the summer in this city when both of those teams are good. For a million different reasons. One of them being any given night for 6 months in the middle of the year, there's good baseball being played in the city. Every single night. Because either the Sox are in town or the Cubs are in town. Sometimes it's both. And there is nothing better than that. So I would love to be talking about these two teams playing good baseball and then waiting for the Crosstown Classic. That's the best. It is the absolute best. But they don't deserve it. They don't right now deserve to be part of the conversation unless something significant happens. And it sucks. I hate it. I hate that it's like that. Because I want nothing more for the fan base than to get to watch a good team play baseball. And it just isn't happening. And I don't know when it will happen. It doesn't feel like it's anytime soon. Maybe it's next year. Maybe it's the year after. Certainly hope so for all of you. We are going to continue with the Cubs conversation. When we come back, we expect to talk with Mark Leiter Jr. pitching out of the bullpen. He has been terrific so far this year. I'm Chris Ranji, filling in for Spiegs. This is Hit and Run on the Score.
We're back with more Hit and Run with host Chris Ranji on the Score.
Swag and a miss. There's the pitch that he threw back to back. The first one Bell didn't chase. This one he does, and that's out number two.
What do you think of Mark? Just two pitches.
I mean, he's the light show, you know. So, like I said in the beginning, everything comes down to be mentally prepared and mentally ready there. So, I just feel like he had a plan. He went out there. He executed his plan, and it worked out perfect for us.
That is Adbert Alzolay talking about our next guest, Mark Leiter Jr., who is joining us here on Hit and Run. The Score Hotline is brought to you by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. I'm Chris Ranji, filling in for Spiegs today on Hit and Run. And now we go out to the ballpark. We bring in Mark Leiter Jr., who is off to a really nice start with the Cubs, and he's with us now on the Score. Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. How do you like Light Show for a nickname?
It's all right. I don't mind it. It's been a lot of fun, so guys kind of have fun with it, and that's good with me.
My understanding is that he's got nicknames for everybody. What's the best one that you've heard so far?
From who?
From Alzolay.
Oh, from Alzolay. I don't know. He has a good time. He brings a lot of energy, and I would say I don't really have a specific choice, but. Yeah, I don't know. That's a tough one to answer.
Well, that's I love baseball nicknames. It's one of my favorite. And I think baseball players are typically the best at giving each other nicknames. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just all the time in the dugout that they have to come up with stuff. What is it being on this particular Cubs team? And, you know, we're not too far into the season. What is it like in that clubhouse compared to some of the others that you've played in?
For me, it's just the fact that we have a lot of guys that returned, and we get a chance to kind of like grow as a group a little bit. A lot of guys kind of like multiple years together now. So I think just kind of like building that bond together over the time and, you know, really just like just having that really good chemistry and like just continuing to grow together in all honesty. That's really like what helps bring everything together is like really caring for each other. So it's been good.
And this first three or so weeks of the season, you've had a new manager in Craig Counsell. Playing for him, what has that been like?
Oh, it's been awesome. He's just been such a steady presence and somebody that he came in day one wanting us to, you know, play together, be together, so and just really having fun together. So I think it's been really good to see, and it's still early, and we still got a lot of work to do, and also just continue to, like, build on this relationship. And moving forward, I'm sure it's going to get better and better over time.
Yeah, and it takes a little bit of time when you're coming into a new team like he is to get a feel for your lineup, to get a feel for the bullpen. How long do you think something like that should take throughout the course of the season to try and fill roles and know where guys should be pitching?
I mean, you've got a lot of experience, so I mean, I don't have any expectation of how long it's going to take for him. I feel like so far it's been great, and you know, guys are kind of like growing into it and gelling together, and it's just, like I said, it's just going to keep getting better and better as time goes on. And, you know, so far I feel like he's done a really good job with our group out in the bullpen. And, you know, we'll continue to do better too.
Mark Leiter Jr. is with us on 670 The Score. You have gotten off to a really nice start out of that bullpen. Does anything feel different for you than maybe in years past? Are you kind of going about business the same way? How do you see what you've done so far?
I just think each year just trying to get better. So last year I feel like kind of started off pretty good, and you know, I had a pretty good year overall. So it was just a matter of continuing to get better and bringing, you know, improving on some of my weaknesses and continuing to be good at some of my strengths. So in this game, I think you're just constantly evolving and finding ways to try and continue to get better. And, you know, there's some luck involved in there too. So, you know, you just, every day is a new day, and you just want to come out here and put your best foot forward each day.
You know, we're talking about bullpens, and there are a lot of managers and teams that don't necessarily like to define roles. I know that pitchers like to have their role a lot of times. You just kind of like to have an idea that it's the seventh, I'm going to pitch, or it's the eighth, I know I'm going to pitch, or the ninth inning. Does it matter to you what inning you pitch in?
No, I don't think it matters. I mean, there's definitely some, like, you want to be able to kind of guess, you know, with the game, and kind of have an educated guess at, like, okay, this is probably me, this is probably you. But, I mean, I would say if you're pitching just one inning and one specific inning, like, you're not being put in the best position to have success. So to go in the way that kind of, like, the game is transitioning a little bit with, like, you have kind of like the guys that you're going to face in the lineup. They might come up in the sixth and come again in the eighth or whatever. It could be a traffic situation in the sixth inning, and it's more important time in the game. So really just being prepared for the guys that you're going to be facing and just being ready for, you know, really – like a couple innings, and you're really only preparing for a couple of guys. So if you don't face them this time, you're going to wait till they come back around. So you might not be in typical like seventh inning, but you're going to know when you're pitching. And as time goes on, it'll be more clear as well.
talking with Mark Leiter Jr. on The Score. It's from the guys that I have talked to in the past, they say there's just a different feel to pitching the ninth inning, and you've closed out some games in your career. Do you like closing them out? Do you like being in that ninth inning, and how different is pitching that inning than the eighth or the seventh?
I mean, everybody has a job to do. I think that there's 27 outs in a baseball game, and I think all 27 outs are important. You know, like, I don't necessarily think defining if I like which inning. I don't really look at it that way. So I definitely will say, like, at Wrigley, it's pretty cool in the ninth inning. Like, fans are a little bit louder, a little bit more into it, and there's definitely a buzz and an energy in the stadium, but it's like that almost every day anyway. So no matter what inning you're coming in to pitch, it's important to just go get your guys out.
Pitching in yesterday's game, for example, you had that game one, and it seemed like, at least watching on TV, it seemed like it was playing a little small early on in the game. What is it like pitching at Wrigley Field, where you're not really sure day to day if it's going to be favorable to you or to the offense?
Yeah, that's a little uneasy, I would say. As you show up to the field, you're not sure if the wind's blowing in or out, and it can be a pretty big impact on the game. But I will say that it brings another layer of fun to the game, where it's, like, a little unpredictability and kind of just understanding what your stuff is going to do different based on the wind conditions. And fly balls can get tough, and our guys do a great job of, being prepared at home. And sometimes that gives us a little bit of an advantage. And, it's just a fun – it brings everything together for me. Like, Wrigley's got so much history, and, like, the wind conditions are one of the aspects that make it a different and unique setting. And it's just it's a really fun place to play.
Talking to Mark Leiter Jr. here, and this team is off to a good start. There have been a couple of games that have gotten away, but 13-8 is good. How do you see this team compared to what it was last year? How much improved is it?
I think we were really good last year. I think we just kind of got tired at the end, maybe. And, unfortunately, when you miss by one game, there's a lot of different things everybody's going to look at. The one thing they could have done that could have helped. So I think got a lot of motivated people. I think that this group just, continuing from last year with the kind of momentum that we had started to build, and then adding in a few new pieces with, some guys with a lot of, like, experience and playoff experience and stuff like that. So I think like we added a lot of the right pieces to, like, kind of give us another step forward.
As everybody knows, Mark, you come from a major league pitching family, your dad, your uncle, and now you've got your cousin Jack, who made his debut for Texas just a few days ago. What was it like getting to see him finally do that?
It was incredible. I mean, it was For Jack, he got to live out his dream. You pitch in a major league stadium with a major league uniform on. It was unbelievable to get to watch him. Fortunately, we had a night game, and I was able to watch the game live and really just enjoy it with my family. And, it's something special for everybody. Jack made his debut on the same day that I got called up, so we share that date now forever. And that for me is really cool. And then the history of our family, like my dad and my uncle becoming the first brothers to play in the major leagues and also have their sons in the major leagues, like, it's pretty special. Like, we love baseball as a family, and we're also baseball fans, and the history of the game and everything. So to become a part of something like that is is really special for me and everybody else in our family.
That was going to kind of be my next question, that, you know, 99.99% of families never have a major leaguer, and there are four of you in one family, so you do recognize how insane that is.
No, yeah, I do. It's something that we definitely don't, you know, it's funny because people will talk about bloodlines and this and that. Like, yeah, there's something to it. Like, we grew up around baseball, but, you know, there's a lot of guys that played and had kids, and, you know, it is what it is. But, like, you know, for Jack, you tip your hat to the hard work that he put in to become as good as he is, you know, like, and same thing for me. Like, you know, you gotta work hard to get there. You don't just get there because of your name or anything like that. Like, it's a tough game to play. A lot of guys are talented, and you got to just continue to earn it, but at the same time, like, look up and appreciate everything that's going on at the same time.
Mark Leiter Jr., so what's the wind doing today? Is today going to be one of those pitcher days or offensive days?
I didn't check the flag yet.
Okay. Well, good luck to you. Thank you for giving us your time this morning, and congrats on the great start by you and by the team.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Mark Leiter Jr. with us here on 670 The Score, pitching out of the Cubs bullpen. And again, there have been a lot of people already who have suggested that maybe he should be the closer. I don't think that they should move on yet and try and find somebody different yet, but they have to be proactive here and aggressive in doing this, because you don't want to let it get away completely. But I really like the role he's in right now, and I hate messing with that. I hate messing with really good setup men and then trying to force them into a different position. But like he said, it to him, at least he says, that it doesn't really matter all that much. Three outs are three outs. So it doesn't matter if it's the eighth inning or the ninth inning. But we know that for some people, that ninth inning weighs a little heavier when they come in to get those final three outs. Psychologically, it's just tougher for some guys to do that. So we'll see what happens here. But I think at this point, you know, I don't think they move on just yet from what Alzolay is doing, but again, I wouldn't let it go on for too long. The Cubs will conclude their series against the Marlins at Wrigley Field. Pre-game coverage starts at 12:45. First pitch is at 1:20 here on The Score. You can listen to every Cubs game if you're in Chicagoland with the free Audacy app. That's AUDACY. I'm Chris Ranji. We are going to talk to Carlos Pena at 11 o'clock with Marquee Sports. Craig Mish is going to join the show as well, because he's covering the Marlins. He also is very good. He's with MLB.com. So he's got some insight around Major League Baseball as well. Sahadev Sharma with The Athletic will be joining the show. And, of course, I want to hear from you. 312-644-6767. I'm Chris Ranji, in for Spiegs on Hit and Run.
We're back with more Hit and Run with host Chris Ranji on The Score.
Here's the 0-1 delivery. Bellinger cracks one in the air. Deep left center field. Going back is Thompson. He looks up, and the Cubs have tied the game. Cody Bellinger goes yard. 1-1. Cubs and Dodgers here in the second. Bellinger homering against his former team again, his fourth of the year.
There's a drive into right field. Well hit by Bellinger. Back goes Garcia near the wall. Gone. Home run, Cody Bellinger to right. Cubs lead 1-0.
Look, I'm going to need you people to stop with the jokes. That includes you. Yeah, Cody Bellinger, in consecutive seasons, has hit a home run on 420. Yeah, I get it.
smoke weed every day.
Yeah, okay. Okay, I need all of that to stop. So you hit a... And by the way, the home run he hit on 420 last year, you'll never guess, it went 420 feet.
Smoke weed every day.
So that's not what that means. It's entirely a coincidence. So I need you to stop with the jokes. He's a professional Major League Baseball player. And he just happens to hit bombs every now and then. And some of them happen to go high and deep. And that's what happened yesterday.
And then he plays baseball, too.
And then he plays. Okay, stop it. I said stop it.
I'm sorry. You set me up, man.
And how about this? So he hit the 420-foot home run last year on 420. And it happened to be his 20th hit of the game or the season at that time. He had 20 hits at that point. It was his fourth home run. So this is 2023 we're talking about. Bellinger goes deep on 420. It was his fourth home run of the year and his 20th hit, and it went 420 feet. That is exceptional. But I need you to stop it. I need you to grow up.
I don't know if I can do it.
Cody Bellinger 420 jokes. And by God, I hope he doesn't do it again next year, because you people will not stop.
The text line, by the way, 312-644-6767. Don't text us those things.
No, what are you doing, Sean?
I'm telling you not to text. Don't text him. Don't text
him.
Do not.
Okay, stop. We're not doing Cody Bellinger 420 jokes today. So that is not what 312-644-6767 is for. All right?
Okay.
Do we have that clear?
I understand.
Okay. Thank you very much. This is a professional outfit right now. What we are doing here, this is important stuff. We've got the game today. It's coming up at 12:45. I think I did mention that earlier, that you can catch it on the Odyssey app. Did you know that if you're in Chicagoland, for free, you can listen to Cubs baseball with the Odyssey app, AUDACY. And also coming up, Harry Carey, there is a toast to him that is happening May 2nd. It is presented by Budweiser, hosted by The Score at Harry Carey's Tavern, Navy Pier. It's the 26th annual worldwide toast to Harry. So Parkins and Spiegel will be there. They're doing a show from 4 to 7. Jason Alexander is going to be there. That's George Costanza. He's going to be there. Also known as the creep from Pretty Woman. He is going to be there. He'll be leading the toast at 5:30. You have a chance to register to win tickets to a future Cubs home game if you show up to the toast to Harry Carey. The worldwide toast to Harry Carey is brought to you by Budweiser. This Bud's for you. So how about that? That's coming up May 2nd. It's a Thursday at Harry Carey's on Navy Pier. So hope to do that. Okay, see, look. No, this is a text message that I have specifically asked not to be texted in. So just to be clear, we are making Cody Bellinger 420 jokes? No, it's the exact opposite. We are not doing that. Thank you to the 630. This texter, also from a 630, says Cubs with a good young team hired Joe Maddon, who was the best at the time, and now they hire Craig Counsell, who a lot of people believe is the best at the time. The White Sox were in the same position, and they hired Tony La Russa when Hinch was available. It's a poor process. So, yeah, I think that's exactly right. It's a real shame, too, because that team was on the way up, and it was the best young, promising team in baseball at the time. It was the sexy pick for the World Series. A lot of people thought that's what was going to happen, and it didn't, because they went with a guy who didn't seem to be into it and seemed like he wasn't, I don't know. I think you know what I'm trying to say. Meanwhile, this is what the Cubs do. On the other hand, and if you've listened to me at all in the past, if you have any idea of how I see managers, I don't think they are as important as people make them out to be. I don't think they are as important as, say, a head football coach or an offensive coordinator who is constantly calling plays. A lot of what success a baseball team has is largely dependent on the one-on-one action, batter versus pitcher, over which the manager has almost no control, unless he's calling pitches from a dugout, which is rare. It doesn't really happen all that much anymore. So I don't think it is as much on the manager, win or lose, as a lot of people say. I think it is very much like what Ozzie Guillen used to say all the time: you can't win if you don't have the horses. But if it can be that little bit, if it can be the thing that decides an extra 5 wins for you a season, you go get the best you can when it's time to do that.
And I'm legitimate. I'm a Hall of Famer.
That's what the Cubs do. They went and got Joe Maddon. The texter is correct. They went and got Joe Maddon when they had that good team that was coming into its own and ready to win. They had the best manager available, and they were sort of, I don't know if this is the correct word, but they were kind of ruthless about it. They moved on from David Ross, and they hired counsel to the surprise of a lot of people, and they did it quickly. Because he was, in the opinion of a lot of people in baseball, the best out there. And they snatched him from another team. That's how they operate. Does it mean it's going to lead to a division title and a deep playoff run? No. But what they are doing is, at least as far as that goes, is they are taking every step. And they are minimizing, or I should say, increasing the margin of error for them. They go and get the best manager available. There are still some holes on the roster, but they're a good team, and they continue to get better. They do have issues, of course, but they operate in a different way. They say, who's the best available? Oh, it's Craig Counsell. Let's go get him. Is it the difference between a World Series team and a 500 team? No, but it could be a handful of games, and that handful of games could matter. It could make them a playoff team or not a playoff team. And you have to love the way the Cubs operate in that regard. And it's very different than what happens on the South Side. 312-644-6767. This texter says, need a vintage Ranger rip show on the Sox. This losing is intentional. Given all the information out there, Getz knew this would happen and still did it. Okay. I think it's totally possible, if not likely, they knew they were going to be bad this year. But I wish if that were the case, they just would have said it. Look, here's what we're doing. We're going to have a thin year in 2024. And then on the other side of it, we expect to start to get better. And here's how we're going to do it. I would rather them do that than do what they did and say, we want to hit the ground running. Well, this is not that. Because in case you haven't checked the standings in a while, the White Sox are 3-17. That's not good. They're arguably the worst team in baseball right now. Let's take a call, shall we? Oh, this is my guy. Southside Ron is with us on the Score. Good morning, Ron.
Oh, man, my man.
Worried sick about you.
Oh, hey, Ronji, Angel, look here. You know, me and you talked plenty of times, post, after the games, but nothing ever like this, Ronji. And it was some tough times, but nothing like this. And you know what? I remember that guy, Ronji, that used to do the thing within the media. I remember all of that. But and you know what? I just had to call you because I love talking to you about baseball and the White Sox. But you're right. They don't deserve any attention. It is one thing to kind of have a bad team, But this is a fiasco, man. This, I mean, it's just not a big team. And last thing, you talked about maybe the somebody mentioned the Cubs in Miami trading. But see, the Sox don't even have anybody to trade.
They got Kopech. They could trade Kopech.
I trade him. I was hoping they were able to trade Eloy when he seemed like he was getting off to a good start. But see, here's the problem. Fetty, they brought him in. Soroka yesterday. You're not getting anything for them. But the real culprits really are Eloy, Yoan. Because, see, if you look at those guys, Tim walked away. See, when your team goes bad, you have to trade those guys. See, they are stuck. Eloy will be here next year. And, no, you can't trade Yoan even if he comes back. Nobody's going to take him for, you know, getting paid almost $25 million. So it's just horrible. That's all I can say. I've been a Sox fan about 55 years, and this takes me back to, like, 1968 when it was bad. It just nothing there, Ron. So, but always a pleasure listening to you and talking to you like we did for so many years. Thanks,
Ron. It's awesome to hear from you, pal. Thank you so much for calling in. I said this earlier. I miss talking to Sox fans every day, even when it used to get heated, because there's passion involved. Everybody cared, and that's the thing that matters most. And that's really Chicago baseball. It's not just Sox. It's Chicago sports, really. It's Sox fans. It's Cubs fans. People care, and I love that. I love the passion, even if some of you are bat spit insane. You care. And that's what matters. And I love you for it. All right. Carlos Pena is going to join us with Marquee Sports Network. We're going to talk some Cubs with him when we come back on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back with more Hit and Run with host Chris Ranji on The Score.
Look out.
Fans are booing Anderson as if he did something nefarious by letting that bat slip out of his hand.
Yep.
I caught a little bit of Tigers at White Sox recently, and Javi was, you know, there all over Javi on the south side.
Sure.
You know, that stuff never dies.
It's part of the charm of the sport, though, right?
I mean,
to sit there, go ahead and explain to someone that wasn't all that familiar with baseball, why are they booing him? Well, because he played for the team on the other side of town. Swing and a miss. Imanaga gets him. And the fans delighted.
Tim Anderson got booed at Wrigley Field yesterday. Coming back to Chicago, now a member of the Miami Marlins. And Anderson's one of those dudes that I am rooting for. I do like him. I think overall, players like him are good for baseball. Personality is good for baseball. So I'd like to see him have a little bit of success. It's been a couple of years since he has had some success, since he has been productive. Offensively, it really hasn't happened since 22. And even then, it was not great. It was probably a little bit below major league average, but it's been a while, so would like to see a little bit of something from it. Last year with the Sox was just a brutal year for Anderson. So, again, rooting for him. Hope he does well. I did think it was interesting to see him get booed a few times at Wrigley yesterday. And they're right. And that highlight from Marquee and JD and Boog talking about it, that's what happens. It's what happens. You know, you've got players who played for the other side of town, and you want to let them hear it. That's what is fun about baseball. See, I don't mind booing opposing players. I think that's great. I think unless your own players are dogging it, I don't know that booing really does any good. And I know fans have the right to voice their displeasure with their own team's performance. I'm just not sure booing helps, unless a guy is just clearly not trying. In that case, or doesn't have his head in the game, making mental errors. In that case, I don't mind you letting him hear it. So this is really interesting because we are spending a lot of time talking Cubs today. Mark Leiter Jr., who has had a very, very good year out of the bullpen for the Cubs, he is going to join us in the next segment. At least he is scheduled to be with us ahead of the Cubs finale against the Marlins at Wrigley Field today, 12:45. We got the broadcast and the actual ball game at 1:20 with Zach Zaidman and Ryan Dempster. They will be on the call this afternoon. Cubs trying to take 3 of 4 at Wrigley Field. But in terms of the Sox, and every time I'm on, every time I'm filling in, as you can imagine, most of the text messages we get to 312-644-6767 are just asking, what about Danks? I don't know. I think he's in Nashville. That's the best I can give you. And, you know, we have people like our Sultan of Snark, John Greenberg, with The Athletic, who is tweeting at me, wondering when the Sox are going to fire Greg Walker. John, we're not doing this. We are not doing this today. We are not firing Greg Walker today.
Why not? It seems
because it's just, it's, you know what? He's with a different team now.
Oh.
Yeah, so I don't think we're firing Greg Walker.
Okay,
Please do not ask me about Greg Walker or Matt Thornton. We are not taking Matt Thornton calls today either. Anything else you want to talk about, we most certainly will do that with you. 312-644-6767. That's the phone number on Hit and Run. Sahadev Sharma is going to join us later. Craig Mish, who covers the Marlins, and he's up on what's happening around MLB, too. Had a couple of people who have said, you know, maybe the Marlins and Cubs would be pretty good trade partners. So we're going to ask Mish about that. Carlos Pena from Marquee is going to visit with us. So a good show as we go up until 12:45, at least as good as I can make it. You know, I can't promise excellence, but I can get you through to 12:45. I could do that for you. Let's take a call, shall we? How about we talk to Mark in South Bend. Hello, Mark.
Oh, Chris, it's always an honor and pleasure to get to weigh in with you. As you know, for a long time, I was a White Sox fan. I used to call you when you used to do the pre and post game and that. And it seems like to me at this particular time and point, the White Sox probably are the most dysfunctional, broken organization in all, not of baseball, but in all of sports, from the ownership on down to the field level. I consider them to be the Charlie Brown All-Stars of the 21st century. And the manager getting excited about coming up with 5 runs after he's down 9-0, and the All-Star pitcher, Zach Wheeler, being taken out of the game is no big accomplishment. It's nothing to get happy about or be feel good about. You know, it's just total dysfunction. And, I've given up on it, Chris. I was, since I was 8 years old, I've been a White Sox fan. And with the dishonesty, the intellectual dishonesty of Jerry Reinsdorf, especially in last year's press conference, and other things over the years, I'm just tired of it, and I've become a Detroit Tigers fan.
Okay. Mark, appreciate the phone call. That is quite a leap. But you know what? You get to listen to Benetti call baseball games now that you're a Tigers fan. I don't think I've ever heard that before. I don't think I've ever heard of a person picking a new baseball team and the new baseball team being a division rival of the team they were following. So I hope Mark follows through on that. I will say this about the Detroit Tigers. Their logo is exceptional. I love the old English D on the hats. And they got a lot of good merchandise. So if you like baseball merchandise, great. Being a Tigers fan would be awesome in that regard. I think their stuff is sweet. But here's the thing about the Sox. And as I said earlier, there are two teams in town here, right? And when I started doing Sox baseball pre and post back in 06, there was a guy, great dude, went by he was online on this message board, and White Sox Interactive, for people who might remember, and his name's Henry, and he would measure in the newspaper the amount of space that was given to the White Sox versus the Cubs, and there were a group of people that would be upset if the Cubs were getting more coverage in the Chicago Tribune or the Sun-Times, and he was literally measuring the space. How many inches of space in the newspaper that was going to both teams in town, and then saying, see, Cubs are getting more coverage. Cubs are getting all of this attention. Why aren't the White Sox getting all of this attention? Here's what I'm going to tell you right now. As much as I care about the White Sox, and I love their fans, I love all of you who are Sox fans, and I do miss talking with you on a daily basis, a lot has happened, enough has happened, in the last few years where I can honestly say I don't think the Sox deserve the coverage. They just don't deserve it. We're talking about them a little bit right now. It's almost too much. They're 3-17. They've done nothing to make their team better. As you know, they have, and I like Chris Getz personally. I think he's tremendous. I think he's smart. I hope he ends up being successful there. I think he's in a difficult position with ownership, but we'll see what happens with him. But they hired him under the reasoning that they wanted to hit the ground running and start winning this year. Well, 3-17 ain't it. So if they're not getting covered, we're not talking about them. They don't deserve it. I hate to say it, and I want to be talking about there's nothing better other than the Bears being good. There is nothing better in Chicago than when the Cubs and the Sox are both good at the same time. There's nothing like the summer in this city when both of those teams are good. For a million different reasons. One of them being any given night for 6 months in the middle of the year, there's good baseball being played in the city. Every single night. Because either the Sox are in town or the Cubs are in town. Sometimes it's both. And there is nothing better than that. So I would love to be talking about these two teams playing good baseball and then waiting for the Crosstown Classic. That's the best. It is the absolute best. But they don't deserve it. They don't right now deserve to be part of the conversation unless something significant happens. And it sucks. I hate it. I hate that it's like that. Because I want nothing more for the fan base than to get to watch a good team play baseball. And it just isn't happening. And I don't know when it will happen. It doesn't feel like it's anytime soon. Maybe it's next year. Maybe it's the year after. Certainly hope so for all of you. We are going to continue with the Cubs conversation. When we come back, we expect to talk with Mark Leiter Jr. pitching out of the bullpen. He has been terrific so far this year. I'm Chris Ranji, filling in for Spiegs. This is Hit and Run on the Score.
We're back with more Hit and Run with host Chris Ranji on the Score.
Swing and a miss. There's the pitch that he threw back to back. The first one Bell didn't chase. This one he does, and that's out number two.
What do you think of Mark? Just two pitches.
I mean, he's the light show, you know. So, like I said in the beginning, everything comes down to be mentally prepared and mentally ready there. So, I just feel like he had a plan. He went out there. He executed his plan, and it worked out perfect for us.
That is Adbert Alzolay talking about our next guest, Mark Leiter Jr., who is joining us here on Hit and Run. The Score Hotline is brought to you by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. I'm Chris Ranji, filling in for Spiegs today on Hit and Run. And now we go out to the ballpark. We bring in Mark Leiter Jr., who is off to a really nice start with the Cubs, and he's with us now on the Score. Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. How do you like Light Show for a nickname?
It's all right. I don't mind it. It's been a lot of fun. So guys kind of have fun with it, and that's good with me.
My understanding is that he's got nicknames for everybody. What's the best one that you've heard so far?
From who?
From Alzolay.
Oh, from Alzolay. I don't know. He has a good time. He brings a lot of energy, and I would say I don't really have a specific choice, but. Yeah, I don't know. That's a tough one to answer.
Well, that's I love baseball nicknames. It's one of my favorite. And I think baseball players are typically the best at giving each other nicknames. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just all the time in the dugout that they have to come up with stuff. What is it being on this particular Cubs team? And, you know, we're not too far into the season. What is it like in that clubhouse compared to some of the others that you've played in?
For me, it's just the fact that we have a lot of guys that returned, and we get a chance to kind of like grow as a group a little bit. A lot of guys kind of like multiple years together now. So I think just kind of like building that bond together over the time and, you know, really just like just having that really good chemistry and like just continuing to grow together in all honesty. That's really like what helps bring everything together is like really caring for each other. So it's been good.
And this first three or so weeks of the season, you've had a new manager in Craig Counsell. Playing for him, what has that been like?
Oh, it's been awesome. He's just been such a steady presence and somebody that he came in day one wanting us to, you know, play together, be together. So and just really having fun together. So I think it's been really good to see, and it's still early and we still got a lot of work to do, and also just continue to like build on this relationship and moving forward. I'm sure it's going to get better and better over time.
Yeah, and it takes a little bit of time when you're coming into a new team like he is to get a feel for your lineup, to get a feel for the bullpen. How long do you think something like that should take throughout the course of the season to try and fill roles and know where guys should be pitching?
I mean, he's got a lot of experience, so I mean, I don't have any expectations of how long it's going to take for him. I feel like so far it's been great, and you know, guys are kind of like growing into it and gelling together, and it's just, like I said, it's just going to keep getting better and better as time goes on. And, you know, so far I feel like he's done a really good job with our group out in the bullpen. And, you know, we'll continue to do better too.
Mark Leiter Jr. is with us on 670 The Score. You have gotten off to a really nice start out of that bullpen. Does anything feel different for you than maybe in years past? Are you kind of going about business the same way? How do you see what you've done so far?
I just think each year just trying to get better. So last year I feel like kind of started off pretty good, and you know, I had a pretty good year overall. So it was just a matter of continuing to get better and bringing, you know, improving on some of my weaknesses and continuing to be good at some of my strengths. So in this game, I think you're just constantly evolving and finding ways to try and continue to get better. And, you know, there's some luck involved in there too. So, you know, you just every day is a new day, and you just want to come out here and put your best foot forward each day.
You know, we're talking about bullpens, and there are a lot of managers and teams that don't necessarily like to define roles. I know that pitchers like to have their role a lot of times. You just kind of like to have an idea that it's the seventh, I'm going to pitch, or it's the eighth, I know I'm going to pitch, or the ninth inning. Does it matter to you what inning you pitch in?
No, I don't think it matters. I mean, there's definitely some, like, you want to be able to kind of guess, you know, with the game and kind of have an educated guess at, like, okay, this is probably me, this is probably you. But, I mean, I would say if, like, if you're pitching just one inning and one specific inning, like, you're not being put in the best position to have success. So to go in the way that kind of, like, the game is transitioning a little bit with, like, you have kind of like the guys that you're going to face in the lineup. They might come up in the sixth and come again in the eighth or whatever. It could be a traffic situation in the sixth inning, and it's more important time in the game. So really just being prepared for the guys that you're going to be facing and just being ready for, you know, really – like a couple innings, and you're really only preparing for a couple of guys. So if you don't face them this time, you're going to wait till they come back around. So you might not be in the typical like seventh inning, but you're going to know when you're pitching. And as time goes on, it'll be more clear as well.
Talking with Mark Leiter Jr. on The Score. There is from the guys that I have talked to in the past, they say there's just a different feel to pitching the ninth inning, and you've closed out some games in your career. Do you like closing them out? Do you like, you know, being in that ninth inning, and how different is pitching that inning than the eighth or the seventh?
I mean, everybody has a job to do. I think that there's 27 outs in a baseball game, and I think all 27 outs are important. You know, like, I don't necessarily think kind of like defining if I like which inning, I don't know. I don't really look at it that way. So I definitely will say, like, at Wrigley, it's pretty cool in the ninth inning. Like, fans are a little bit louder, a little bit more into it, and there's definitely a buzz and an energy in the stadium, but it's, you know, it's like that almost every day anyway. So no matter what inning you're coming in to pitch, it's important to just go get your guys out.
Pitching in yesterday's game, for example, you had that game one, and it seemed like, at least watching on TV, it seemed like it was playing a little small early on in the game. What is it like pitching at Wrigley Field, where you're not really sure day to day if it's going to be favorable to you or to the offense?
Yeah, that's a little uneasy, I would say. As you show up to the field, you're not sure if the wind's blowing in or out, and it can be a pretty big impact on the game. But I will say that it brings another layer of fun to the game, where it's, you know, like a little unpredictability and kind of just understanding what your stuff is going to do different based on the wind conditions. And, you know, fly balls can get tough, and our guys do a great job of, you know, being prepared at home. And sometimes that gives us a little bit of an advantage. And, you know, it's just a fun – it brings everything together for me. Like, Wrigley's got so much history, and, like, the wind conditions are one of the aspects that make it a different and unique setting, and it's a really fun place to play.
Talking to Mark Leiter Jr. here, and this team is off to a good start. There've been a couple of games that have gotten away, but 13-8 is good. how do you see this team compared to what it was last year? How much improved is it?
I think we were really good last year. I think we just kind of got tired at the end maybe. And, you know, unfortunately, when you miss by one game, it's there's a lot of different things. Everybody's going to look at the one thing they could have done that could have helped. So I think got a lot of motivated people. I think that this group just, you know, continuing from last year with the kind of momentum that we had started to build, and then adding in a few new pieces with, you know, some guys with a lot of, like, experience and playoff experience and stuff like that. So I think like, we added a lot of the right pieces to, like, kind of give us another step forward.
As everybody knows, Mark, you come from a major league pitching family, your dad, your uncle, and now you've got your cousin, Jack, who made his debut for Texas just a few days ago. What was it like getting to see him finally do that?
It was incredible. I mean, it was, you know, for Jack, you know, he got to live out his dream. Pitch in a major league stadium with a major league uniform on. It was unbelievable to get to watch him. Fortunately, we had a night game, and I was able to watch the game live and really and just enjoy it with my family. And, you know, it's something special for everybody. Jack made his debut on the same day that I got called up, so we share that date now forever. And that for me, is really cool. And then the history of our family, like my dad and my uncle becoming the first brothers to play in the major leagues and also have their sons in the major leagues, like, it's pretty special. Like, we love baseball as a family, and, you know, we're also baseball fans and the history of the game and everything. So to become a part of something like that is really special for me and everybody else in our family.
That was going to kind of be my next question, that, you know, 99.99% of families never have a major leaguer, and there are four of you in one family, so you do recognize how insane that is.
No, oh yeah, I do. It's something that we definitely don't, you know, it's funny because people will talk about bloodlines and this and that. Like, yeah, there's something to it. Like, we grew up around baseball, but, you know, there's a lot of guys that played and had kids, and, you know, it is what it is. But, like, you know, for Jack, you tip your hat to the hard work that he put in to become as good as he is, you know, like, and same thing for me. Like, you know, you gotta work hard to get there. You don't just get there because of your name or anything like that. Like, there's a tough game to play. A lot of guys are talented, and you got to just continue to earn it, but at the same time, like, look up and appreciate everything that's going on at the same time.
Mark Leiter Jr., so what's the wind doing today? Is today going to be one of those pitcher days or offensive days?
I didn't check the flag yet.
Okay. Well, good luck to you. Thank you for giving us your time this morning, and congrats on the great start by you and by the team.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Mark Leiter Jr. with us here on 670 The Score, pitching out of the Cubs bullpen. And again, there have been a lot of people already who have suggested that maybe he should be the closer. I don't think that they should move on yet and try and find somebody different yet, but they have to be proactive here and aggressive in doing this, because you don't want to let it get away completely. But I really like the role he's in right now, and I hate messing with that. I hate messing with really good setup men and then trying to force them into a different position. But like he said, it to him, at least he says that it doesn't really matter all that much. Three outs are three outs. So it doesn't matter if it's the eighth inning or the ninth inning. But we know that for some people, that ninth inning weighs a little heavier when they come in to get those final three outs. Psychologically, it's just tougher for some guys to do that. So we'll see what happens here. But I think at this point, you know, I don't think they move on just yet from what Alzolay is doing. But again, I wouldn't let it go on for too long. The Cubs will conclude their series against the Marlins at Wrigley Field. Pre-game coverage starts at 12:45. First pitch is at 1:20 here on The Score. You can listen to every Cubs game if you're in Chicagoland with the free Audacy app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. I'm Chris Ranji. We are going to talk to Carlos Pena at 11 o'clock with Marquee Sports. Craig Mish is going to join the show as well because he's covering the Marlins. He also is very good. He's with MLB.com. So he's got some insight around Major League Baseball as well. Sahadev Sharma with The Athletic will be joining the show. And, of course, I want to hear from you, 312-644-6767. I'm Chris Ranji, in for Spiegs on Hit and Run.
We're back with more Hit and Run with host Chris Ranji on The Score.
Here's the 0-1 delivery. Bellinger cranks one in the air. Deep left center field. Going back is Thompson. He looks up and the Cubs have tied the game. Cody Bellinger goes yard. 1-1 Cubs and Dodgers here in the second. Bellinger homering against his former team again, his fourth of the year.
There's a drive into right field. Well hit by Bellinger. Back goes Garcia near the wall. Gone. Home run, Cody Bellinger to right. Cubs lead 1-0.
Look, I'm going to need you people to stop with the jokes. That includes you. Yeah, Cody Bellinger in consecutive seasons has hit a home run on 420. Yeah, I get it.
Smoke weed every day.
Yeah, okay. Okay, I need all of that to stop. So you hit a... And by the way, the home run he hit on 420 last year, you'll never guess, it went 420 feet.
Smoke weed every day.
So that's not what that means. It's entirely a coincidence. So I need you to stop with the jokes. He's a professional Major League Baseball player. And he just happens to hit bombs every now and then. And some of them happen to go high and deep. And that's what happened yesterday.
And then he plays baseball, too.
And then he plays... Okay, stop it. I said stop it.
I'm sorry. You set me up, man.
And how about this? So he hit the 420-foot home run last year on 420. And it happened to be his 20th hit of the game, or the season at that time. He had 20 hits at that point. It was his fourth home run. So this is 2023 we're talking about. Bellinger goes deep on 420. It was his fourth home run of the year and his 20th hit. And it went 420 feet. That is exceptional. But I need you to stop it. I need you to grow up. We're not doing.
I can do it.
We're not doing Cody Bellinger 420 jokes. And by God, I hope he doesn't do it again next year because you people will not stop.
The text line, by the way, 312-644-6767. Don't text us those things.
No, what are you doing, Sean?
I'm telling you not to don't text them. Don't text.
Do not. Okay, stop. We're not doing Cody Bellinger 420 jokes today. So that is not what 312-644-6767 is for. All right?
Okay.
Do we have that clear?
I understand.
Okay. Thank you very much. This is a professional outfit right now. What we are doing here, this is important stuff. We've got the game today. It's coming up at 12:45. I think I did mention that earlier, that you can catch it on the Odyssey app. Did you know that if you're in Chicagoland for free, you can listen to Cubs baseball with the Odyssey app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. And also coming up, Harry Carey There is a toast to him that is happening May 2nd. It is presented by Budweiser, hosted by The Score at Harry Carey's Tavern, Navy Pier. It's the 26th annual worldwide toast to Harry. So Parkinson Spiegel will be there. They're doing a show from 4 to 7. Jason Alexander is going to be there. That's George Costanza. He's going to be there. Also known as the creep from Pretty Woman. He is going to be there. He'll be leading the toast at 5:30. You have a chance to register to win tickets to a future Cubs home game if you show up to the toast to Harry Carey. The worldwide toast to Harry Carey is brought to you by Budweiser. This Bud's for you. So how about that? That's coming up May 2nd. It's a Thursday at Harry Carey's on Navy Pier. So hope to do that. Okay, see, look. No, this is a text message that I have specifically asked not to be texted in. So just to be clear, we are making Cody Bellinger 420 jokes? No, it's the exact opposite. We are not doing that. Thank you to the 630. This texter, also from a 630, says Cubs with a good young team hired Joe Maddon, who was the best at the time, and now they hire Craig Counsell, who a lot of people believe is the best at the time. The White Sox were in the same position, and they hired Tony La Russa when Hinch was available. It's a poor process. So, yeah, I think that's exactly right. It's a real shame, too, because that team was on the way up, and it was the best young, promising team in baseball at the time. It was the sexy pick for the World Series. A lot of people thought that's what was going to happen, and it didn't, because they went with a guy who didn't seem to be into it and seemed like he wasn't... I don't know. I think you know what I'm trying to say. Meanwhile, this is what the Cubs do. On the other hand, and if you've listened to me at all in the past, if you have any idea of how I see managers, I don't think they are as important as people make them out to be. I don't think they are as important as, say, a head football coach or an offensive coordinator who is constantly calling plays. A lot of what success a baseball team has is largely dependent on the one-on-one action, batter versus pitcher, over which the manager has almost no control, unless he's calling pitches from a dugout, which is rare. It doesn't really happen all that much anymore. So I don't think it is as much on the manager, win or lose, as a lot of people say. I think it is very much like what Ozzie Guillen used to say all the time: you can't win if you don't have the horses. But if it can be that little bit, if it can be the thing that decides an extra 5 wins for you a season, you go get the best you can when it's time to do that.
And I'm legitimate. I'm a Hall of Famer.
That's what the Cubs do. They went and got Joe Maddon. The texter is correct. They went and got Joe Maddon when they had that good team that was coming into its own and ready to win. They had the best manager available, and they were sort of, I don't know if this is the correct word, but they were kind of ruthless about it. They moved on from David Ross, and they hired Counsell, to the surprise of a lot of people, and they did it quickly. Because he was, in the opinion of a lot of people in baseball, the best out there. And they snatched him from another team. That's how they operate. Does it mean it's going to lead to a division title and a deep playoff run? No. But what they are doing is, at least as far as that goes, is they are taking every step. And they are minimizing, or I should say increasing, the margin of error for them. They go and get the best manager available. There are still some holes on the roster, but they're a good team, and they continue to get better. They do have issues, of course, but they operate in a different way. They say, who's the best available? Oh, it's Craig Counsell? Let's go get him. Is it the difference between a World Series team and a 500 team? No, but it could be a handful of games, and that handful of games could matter. It could make them a playoff team or not a playoff team. And you have to love the way the Cubs operate in that regard. And it's very different than what happens on the South Side. 312-644-6767. This texter says, need a vintage Ranger rip show on the Sox. This losing is intentional. Given all the information out there, Getz knew this would happen and still did it. Okay. I think it's totally possible, if not likely, they knew they were going to be bad this year. But I wish if that were the case, they just would have said it. Look, here's what we're doing. We're going to have a thin year in 2024. And then on the other side of it, we expect to start to get better. And here's how we're going to do it. I would rather them do that than do what they did and say, we want to hit the ground running. Well, this is not that. Because in case you haven't checked the standings in a while, the White Sox are 3-17. That's not good. They're arguably the worst team in baseball right now. Let's take a call, shall we? Oh, this is my guy. Southside Ron is with us on the Score. Good morning, Ron.
Oh, man, my man.
Worried sick about you.
Oh, hey, Ron, Angel, look here. You know, me and you talked plenty of times, post, after the games, but nothing ever like this, Roger. And it was some tough times, but nothing like this. And you know what? I remember that guy, Ronji, they used to do the thing within the media. I remember all of that. But and you know what? I just had to call you because I love talking to you about baseball and the White Sox. But you're right. They don't deserve any attention. It is one thing to kind of have a bad team, but this is a fiasco, man. It's just not a bad team. And last thing, you talked about maybe somebody mentioned the Cubs in Miami trading. But see, the Sox don't even have anybody to trade.
They were talking about they got Kopech.
Kopech. I trade him. I was hoping they were able to trade Eloy when he seemed like he was getting off to a good start. But see, here's the problem. Fetty, they brought him in. Soroka yesterday, you do not get anything for them. But the real culprits really are Eloy, Yoan. Because, see, if you look at those guys, Tim walked away. See, when your team goes bad, you have to trade those guys. See, they are stuck. Eloy will be here next year. And, no, you can't trade Yoan even if he comes back. Nobody's going to take him for, getting paid almost $25 million. So it's just horrible. That's all I can say. I've been a Sox fan about 55 years, and this takes me back to like 1968 when it was bad. It just nothing there, Ron. So, but always a pleasure listening to you and talking to you like we did for so many years. Thanks,
Ron. It's awesome to hear from you, pal. Thank you so much for calling in. I said this earlier. I miss talking to Sox fans every day, even when it used to get heated, because there's passion involved. Everybody cared, and that's the thing that matters most. And that's really Chicago baseball. It's not just Sox. It's Chicago sports, really. It's Sox fans. It's Cubs fans. People care, and I love that. I love the passion, even if some of you are bat spit insane. You care. And that's what matters. And I love you for it. All right. Carlos Pena is going to join us with Marquee Sports Network. We're going to talk some Cubs with him when we come back on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.